Talk International correspondent.
Katie McDonald, a very good morning to you. How are you this morning?
I am extremely well, and how are you, Abs?
I'm absolutely fine. Katie, you know that whenever I'm hungry, I always say Katie McDonald's. I don't know why. I think it's like I'm thinking about McDonald's, am I?
Yeah, I know. Well, I actually felt terribly guilty because the other day, I had Burger King.
Really? You can't. It's impossible. Yeah. You cannot. You're cheating. No. You are absolutely cheating.
Completely, completely.
Nonetheless. Yeah. Listen, so we watch and we wait to hear what the results will be, but Catalonia, what's the latest coming out of there?
Yeah, I have to say, Abs, that if something doesn't happen, I'm sure I'm not the only person that's just, going to sort of, slit the proverbial wrists. But essentially, after weeks of, it's been to-ing and fro-ing, today is deadline day. And it's the day that the Spanish and the Catalonian leaders, they're supposed to finally, finally deliver on their rulings over Catalonia's future. So it's a 10 a.m. deadline that's been imposed by Spain. The Spanish President Mariano Rajoy is going to impose direct rule on Catalonia if the Catalan leader doesn't retract his somewhat confusing declaration of independence that he made last week. So essentially, if he doesn't, Spain's going to invoke direct rule under this Section 155 of the Constitution, which has never been used before. And Puigdemont, however, he's the Carlos Puigdemont, the leader of Catalan. He said yesterday evening that not only would he not back down, but he's going to move on with a more formal declaration of independence if Spain suspends their political autonomy. So, it's seriously D-Day, 10 a.m., and the European Union just sort of continues to side with Spain's government. They don't want to give fuel to any other secessionist movements. And they've ignored appeals from Catalan leaders and others to step in and help with talks. So let's see. 10 a.m. Set your alarm. It's been frustrating.
And Katie, why is it that Germans may be upset about the introduction of Muslim public holidays?
Yeah, this is yet another sort of hot potato kind of issue. But essentially, the German Interior Minister, one Thomas de Maizière, he's on the campaign trail, and he was speaking he was speaking ahead of an election that's happening this Sunday in Lower Saxony. And he essentially said that, why not have holidays, that he's not against, let me say, having Muslim holidays celebrated in certain regions of Germany. Because you've got, for example, public holidays in Catholic regions, such as All Saints Day, that are not celebrated in other areas. So he's open to the idea of selected regions having Muslim holidays. And already there are some cities, such as Hamburg and Bremen, and they've already signed agreements with Muslim organizations so that school pupils have time off school and workers can take holidays for festivals that are important to them. So, it's upsetting fellow members of his party. He's part of the Christian Democratic Union and certain citizens. But there are others that don't see what the issue is, what the drama is.
Very interesting. I'll tell you that much. And then in Greece, though, what is it about police officers that all about the height?
Yes. How tall is tall enough and how short is too short? So, this is a ruling that came about yesterday, actually, in response to an action that was brought by a Greek woman who wasn't allowed to enter the police academy because she was shorter than the minimum required height of 1.7 metres. So the European Court of Justice ruled that setting a blanket minimum height requirement for police academy recruits, or for all of them, could be considered as discrimination against women. So, the essence is that they said it does constitute indirect sex discrimination because it works to the disadvantage of far more women than men, but it wouldn't be discrimination if there was an objective reason for it, you know, something that would affect the proper function of police services. So,
but is there one? Is there one? Because I would imagine if you set a height restriction, you would have sat down and you would have said, okay, this is why a police officer needs to be a certain height. So surely you can argue this. Or was it just one of those things where someone sat down and decided that, you know what, this is the correct height?
That's what they did. That's what it appears they did. They said no shorter than 1.7 meters. So, you know, if you're going into administration or a desk job, why a height restriction? Yeah, it makes sense.
It's a fair question. It's a fair question.
Yeah.
All right, Katie, though. So please do tell the listeners why I may be moving to Switzerland shortly. And I'm more than happy to clean their sewers.
I know. It just boggles. It continues to boggle the mind. Yeah, so, you know, remember just last month I told you about the toilets at the Geneva Bank and restaurants that were blocked by these high-denomination banknotes. Well, it looks like Switzerland literally oozes with riches, because now it appears that their waste system is speckled with gold and silver. I mean, it just, the biggest disbelief.
It's my kind of waste.
I know. I read this and I thought, what? I think I'm off to Switzerland as well. Well, look, it was a research report that showed that last year, 3 tons of silver and 43 kilograms of gold was detected in effluent and sludge from wastewater treatment plants. So that's around the equivalent of $3.1 million. But Abs, before you book that ticket, before you hurry on over there, sadly, you know, for you and others who expect to find this, you know, treasure trove of precious metals in your waste, these are apparently tiny particles, and they most likely come from, you know, you've got the watchmaking, the pharmaceuticals and the chemical industries in Switzerland, and they use these metals in their products and processes. So, you know, the individual amounts are very, very small, but when you add them up, it's quite substantial. But they are looking to see whether it's worthwhile to extract these metals from the sludge. Doesn't seem to be cost effective at the moment, but it's a possibility.
Katie, I will literally bask myself in. I'm on radio. I can't say some things, but I will bask myself. I will let it flow on me to find $2 million worth of gold. Don't test me, Katie. Don't test me. They may say that, you know, it may be a while, but I don't care. I'm moving to Switzerland. And in fact, Cape Talk listeners will have to fund me.
we'll be doing the Swiss report with
us. So be it. Katie McDonald, thank you so much for joining us once again. Absolute pleasure chatting with you.
As always, have a great day.
Thank you so much. Katie McDonald, all the way from Budapest, Hungary. By the way, nearly $2 million worth of gold and silver flushed away in Switzerland annually. I think I can be a plumber in Switzerland. I'm sure I'll be okay with it. 35-